Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Oh yeah, she's an old mean old lady. She's an old mean old lady. I'm mean old lady.
Thank you. Now it looks like a crazy Bernie Jones. Your mother Brown, brother Wayne, was in the prison. Is anyone else here that needs prayer?
Please keep me up in prayer before the Lord. Always, always. Still going through some struggles, but you want the Lord makes it possible for me to be here. And so you know what? I'm going to be here if I can make it. And so you just keep praying for me that that the Lord keeps healing my body day by day by day.
Anyone else need prayer? God, there's many people hurt all over the world, God.
Yeah.
And God, we thank you for calling the new leaders up now, God.
Thank you, Lord.
And God, we thank you for those who have the compassion in their heart, God.
Yeah.
To be able to care for folks who are less fortunate, God. God, we just thank you for running down, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God, for this an opportunity right now, God. To pray before your people, God.
Yeah.
God, we just thank you for our pastor here, God, for Brenda Pacific. His wife, God,
yeah.
Pastor Lynn, God, just thank you for traveling grace this morning, God. God, we ask that this will be their last time, God, coming, God, who will make a connection, God, with one another, God, to share God's word. God, we enter kingdom building now, God. God, you just love all people, God. You didn't look at your color, God. You said, these are my children. God, you said, knock, the door shall be open. You said, ask, and we shall receive, God. And God, we just name it and we thank you right now.
Yes.
And all God's people say,
amen. Amen.
Now, Lord, this time when we meet together, Lord, we meet with you all the time.
In your name
of
love,
amen. Let me love each other, amen. This is a welcome song.
We like to just welcome a little bit different than they do it other churches.
Yeah.
We like to welcome you with a welcome song. So we call it our welcome song. So welcome to the house of the Lord. Here we go.
Thank you. Grateful for that memory.
some small way to say thank you this morning. Floyd, now you know, and you know how to read scripture, and I'm just learning. So I wonder if you're willing to read scripture for us. Can I ask you to do that? Okay, I do have one here, but it's not the King James, but your brother, because I don't know. If you read other versions, I see we have an NIV also.
I've got an NIV.
You're welcome to use mine if you like. That's what you need. Okay. can you read this kind? This type right here? So it's Luke 4:14.
Jesus filled a field with the power of the Spirit and turned Galilee. And forth by him spread through all surrounding country. Began to teach in the synagogue and class with the followers, and was praised by others. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He went to the synagogue on the Saturday, as was his custom. He stood up to read. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he brought the words with him. The words on him. Found the place where it was written. Oh, they found the place that found the place where it was written. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring goodness to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Proclaim the year of the Lord's Savior. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the temple, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this has been feel your hearing."
Yes.
All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious word that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me his father, Dr. Pure yourself. And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at the firm." And he said, "Truly, I tell you, no prophet except in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there are many wells in Israel in the time of the life. When the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a serve famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to the widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogues were filled with grief. They got up, drove him out of the town, led him to the brink of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Sorry to put you through that ordeal with your glasses steaming as they were.
Yeah.
The story of Scripture, which Jesus, as was his custom, on the Sabbath day, went to the synagogue in the power of the Spirit to divide the Scripture. You hear that? It's on the Sabbath day in the synagogue where the Spirit moves Jesus through the Scripture. And it is there that we begin to see the prophet preach the promise of God to the poor in a way that brings them power and gives God praise.
All right.
Do you see that?
Yes.
It is the power of God to the poor through the preaching of the prophet to fulfill the promise that is given by the prophet.
Yes.
Now it's that story that we want to take a look at today. This is Jesus' poor people's campaign.
All right.
This is the poor people's campaign that happens before we come to present.
Yes,
right. It's not just all of California. This one starts in Capernaum, and it moves to Nazareth, and then it goes to Jerusalem, and then to the ends of the earth. This is the poor people's campaign inaugurated by Jesus, the anointed one. So Jesus comes, and he comes to the synagogue. Now you can imagine, the synagogue was not built exactly like this room. It was more or less the same size. But instead of benches in rows, the benches are all around the building.
Yes,
that means we're all in the front row.
Yes, sir.
Not just a few of us, everybody's on the front row.
Well,
Jesus comes in and he preaches to the people that are all on the sides. Now, in that congregation where they're all lined up and ready to hear preaching, they start like we did this morning with some singing.
Okay.
They sing together, great Shabbat, which is a Hebrew word that means to hear. Earlier this morning, Pastor McCoy was telling me, I've got ears, I want to hear.
Yes, sir.
That's the voice of a person who's a faithful worshiper in the synagogue. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
Yes.
And we love the Lord God, when you say it's with the heart, with the soul, with the mind.
Yes.
That's a great word that's spoken.
Yes.
Then the word from the Torah, which is the law, the book of Deuteronomy, and it reads like this. Israel, what does the Lord require of you?
Yes.
And then the words come, tumbling out, to love the Lord your God, to serve the Lord your God, to obey the Lord your God, to keep to focus on who the Lord is. Lord of lords, God of gods, great, mighty, and holy Lord.
Yes.
Mighty and awesome, not partial, not is the heart of God. This is the one who keeps justice for orphans and widows, and loves the strangers and feeds them, aliens and feeds them. Why? Because you all come from another land.
Yes.
And you all been welcome to this land.
That's right.
And now in this land you were fed, and so what you see people need around you, strangers, you welcome into your home.
Right.
There are no strangers to the people of God. We all are welcomed by God into the table of God.
Yes, that's right.
So that's what the Torah, the book of the law says as Jesus enters into that place. And then it's his turn. He's a guest among them, though he is at home there.
Yes.
And the attendant hands him the law. And Jesus does the reading of the prophet Isaiah. And this is the inspiration, the power of Jesus as he opens scripture under the influence of the Spirit. As he's opening the scripture, he says, this day, this scripture is coming to be fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor. We're talking about an anointed one who's going to be king, who is going to bring a new rule to the land. Now, as the people are sitting there, they've been exiles, and they're wondering, where does the power come from? And as the scriptures open, Jesus says, the anointing is on me. That means God has elected, God has chosen, God has placed in office as Messiah, Jesus. But here's the clincher. He's come in order to preach good news to the poor.
Yes.
It's not some other kind of anointing. Jesus' purpose is really clear. It is to help poor people's campaign.
Uh-huh.
It is to preach good news to the poor.
Yes.
Not old news. It's good news. It's new news. There's new message.
Yes. Right.
And the message that is coming only and exclusively and first of all to poor people.
Yes. That's right.
So Jesus comes and he preaches good news to the poor, means release to captives. These are the people who feel like they've been slaves.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the story of the people of Israel. They had hundreds of years in slavery in a foreign land.
Yes, sir.
And it was only when Moses came and opened up the gates and God released the slaves that they become a people.
Uh-huh.
And now, as a people of God, they've been brought into the land, they've enjoyed life in the land, they've grown gardens that are overflowing with purple cabbage and kale. They have all that good stuff coming. And then in disobedience, they failed God. And the sad story is that they were carried away into exile a second time.
Yes, sir.
And when they come back into the land, that they still live as slaves. The Roman Empire has them crushed. The law says that they're supposed to be equal in everybody's eyes, but that's not what they're doing. They're still under that kind of exile. So when Jesus comes back, he has to inaugurate a poor people's campaign.
Yes.
He has to release the captives.
Yes, sir.
He says, I'm bringing sight to blind eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that means that there were people who were blind that Jesus is touching.
Uh-huh.
Jesus is bringing health care to everybody.
Yes,
health care that is going to be universal health care.
Yeah.
It's going to go to every neighborhood.
Yes,
it's going to go to places where people have been shut out of things.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to bring sight to blind eyes. Now, it's not just physical sight to blind eyes.
Right.
It's not just sight to see things in a new way.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
have seen the visions and walls.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming to say, no more walls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get down
yeah.
the walls. So that everybody can come into my house.
Yes.
Because it's one people that I want to call.
That's true.
I'm not making different parties here. I'm making one party, and it's the poor people's serving God party that I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
So he's opening up the eyes.
Uh-huh.
And then he says again, a second time, the people that have been enslaved or be set free, an emancipation proclamation that Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then he concludes by saying, I'm proclaiming a new year.
That's
a year of jubilee.
Yes.
A year of the Lord's favor. A year, well, it's part of the tradition of the people of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Every 7 years, there's a Sabbath.
Yes.
On the Sabbath, the land rests and the people rest.
Yes.
But even more than that, slaves are set free and debts are forgiven. Now, I have a friend who teaches with me in Crystal Pacific whose husband died last year after almost a lifetime cancer. Over and over and over again, he went into the doctor's office and they would put him in the hospital. She told me last week, every time I went to the hospital, it cost $100,000.
Wow.
Insurance would pay all of it, but about $400. But we didn't have any more money to live on, so I went on the credit card. Every time he's in the hospital, $100,000 bill and $400 for the credit card. Now she's in on completely loaded. They don't pay me the disability anymore. My salary is just barely enough to make ends meet. What am I going to do? I'm completely at wit's end. Now, she does have in her corner a Christian who is one of these bookkeeping accountants, and he's going to help her out next week. But she's still at the end of her rope. She needs that kind of Sabbath that frees the credit card
more
close to this. And build it up not for any fault in the world, simply because there's an illness in the family.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir. In the land of Israel, every 7th year, the debts were forgiven off the credit card.
And hallelujah.
Then after 7 Sabbaths, we come to Jubilee.
Yes.
And at Jubilee, it's not only release for prisoners, but it's also a piece of land. It's
that's
a
right.
mule and 40 acres that
and
is given to everybody.
Yeah.
Because this is the way in which the law is supposed to work. It's called bullying.
Uh-huh.
Now, I just reminded recently that you know how often Jubilee happened in Israel? Was supposed to be every 50 years, but the rich people have this law. And I always tell you, 50 years till the next Jubilee. That means you never celebrate Jubilee. So Jesus reads this scripture and sits down to preach, and the people are listening. What's he going to say? The first word that Jesus preaches, the very first word, is a word that was Martin Luther King Jr.'s favorite word, I understand. It was the word today.
Today.
Not tomorrow.
Yes.
Not 50 years from now. But today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Yes.
Now, Jesus was not a preacher. Jesus preached short sermons.
Yes.
It was a 9-word sermon that Jesus preached that day. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Yes, sir.
Today. This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The word today is an important word in the Bible. 30 times in the book of Deuteronomy, the preacher Moses says today, today. Now, commentators try to soften the word today because this is a very difficult text. Every time I preach this text in a white congregation, they say it's a hard text. Today is always tomorrow if you have the power.
Yes,
today is only today if you're a person who stands in need of justice right now.
Yes,
so today, commentaries explain in many different ways why today is really tomorrow. That's not for Jesus. For Jesus, today is today.
Yes, right.
Today is the day in which this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The today of Jesus now is one that he has proclaimed and he sits back down.
Yes.
He's silent. And the people in the pews are murmuring among themselves. They're saying, this was a great sermon. We've never heard 8-9 words that were this powerful. We usually have to wait for 9 hours of a sermon. Here's 9 words. What's happening? What's moving among them? They say these are grace-filled words. These are the words of one of us, somebody that grew up in our neighborhood, somebody that from the home is right here in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
We understand.
Yeah.
So let's hear this message.
Yeah.
And Jesus is preaching. They are happy. You know, it's like at the Olympics where they hell is this preaching? They're reading him. They say, isn't this one of ours? Oh, yes. But Jesus knows. You see, in the talk back session, after the sermon, Jesus knows what's in our hearts.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And he says, I know what you were thinking. You were quoting Proverbs to me while I was preaching. You weren't listening.
Uh-oh.
You were quoting Scripture.
Uh-oh.
You were saying, physician, heal yourself.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, bring that health care to your body,
yes,
to your neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
Because as you're preaching, physician, heal yourself, we want you to do miracles right here. We don't want to have to walk the long, lonely road of faithfulness. We want a miracle. We want to see spectacularly jump off the table. We want you to fall down and worship the devil so that all the kingdoms are yours. Jesus is filled with the Spirit. He's listening to Scripture. The Spirit and the Scripture are in the synagogue on that Sabbath day. And as Jesus is preaching the good news to them, he's saying, I know what you were thinking. You want the miracles done right here. In fact, you really want to put up some walls. You want to keep this right here with your friends and your neighbors. You want the gospel to be your gospel. And then he spoke something that disturbed his audience. All of a sudden, what seemed like such a great message, he switched it upside down because Jesus says, this word is not just for you. It's also for the people that are on the other side of town, the other side of the tracks.
Yes.
It's also for those people. He tells them two stories. Now, all these churchgoers, all these Jewish people who have been listening to the Scripture all their lives, understood when they talked about Elijah and Elijah. Elijah, the first prophet, he comes in and he stands in the seat of power, and he says to the people there, now, is a day of drought. 3.5 years before it rains again. And then he has to look for a place for protection. And instead of going to one of the widows in the neighborhood, he goes to the enemy city, Zarephath in Sidon, and takes care of a widow and her son there. You remember the story. She's looking for a few sticks for one last pancake, and he says, no, me first, and then your oil and your meal will run out. Sure enough, that's what happens. But that's not the end of the story because the boy gets sick. The little boy dies. She says to him, oh, God, why did you come here? If you hadn't come, God would have never noticed me. And he takes that boy's body and he takes it up to his room and he prays and life comes back to the boy. Now, this is a great story for the people in Zarephath, but for the people in Nazareth, you know what they've been thinking? They bought into the idea that this is make Galilee great again. You need one of these red hats.
Yeah.
Make Galilee great again.
Yeah.
No, Jesus says, we don't live with those red hats.
Right.
We're not in Make America Great Land again. We're the poor people's campaign.
Yeah.
We don't live with red hats. We don't live with walls.
Yeah.
We don't live with that alone.
Yeah.
The second story tells us about Elisha, the prophet. Elisha is the one who he does bring universal health care to the land. He's always healing people that are ill. In fact, he even heals water, the text says. In Jericho, the water is no good, and he heals the water.
Okay.
Now, there's a man in the foreign land who has leprosy. Now, remember, leprosy and all illness is supposed to be healed in my country, in my land, under my red hat. But Elisha gets word that a man who's been guilty of kidnapping children has found out that there's a healer here. And Naaman the general, the enemy general, comes into Elisha's place with all of his military equipment. He's got the tanks, he's got the air jets, he's got everything that comes in. They call it chariots and horses, but he's got all of them there.
He
ends up in front of the place, he's threatening Elisha. And Elisha says, here's a message. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to send a message. Go get in the mud pools of the Jordan River. Of course, David doesn't want to do it, but when he does, he's healed. And that's the story. story that Jesus is telling. The healing comes not from you, but to the people on the other side. And when Jesus gives this kind of a message, the people inside his own crowd become angry with him. All of a sudden, their hands become zeros. They pick him up, they're going to tar and feather him, and only by some miracle does he walk away. He's saved by the power of God. He takes this story, and he brings it to his community. Luke is the gospel storyteller. He has to remember that story that happened in Nazareth on those benches around that synagogue. And he brings it to his home community. You know who is in Luke's community? There are lots of women in Luke's church. In fact, over and over again, Luke emphasizes that women have voices in the church of God's people. The first person to speak any kind of a gospel message is Mother of Jesus, Mary. She preaches and she says, the powerful are being bought now, and the poor are being lifted up. The hungry are going away full, and the ones who were full are becoming empty.
Yes, sir.
They're being modeled. Zechariah, the prophet, speaks about the way in which those who have been enslaved have been set free, and now they're free to worship God and give God all the glory,
yes.
Giving God the praise.
Yes.
The Spirit moves on John the Baptist, and John preaches. He says, now, if you really want to repent, if you've got two jackets, give one away.
Yes,
that's the other one you've got.
Yes.
In the church where I attend, we have a meal for our neighborhood on Thursday nights. Those of us who attend on Sunday morning have lots of jackets. We have lots of shoes. We have plenty to share with anybody that wants to come have a meal with us.
Yeah.
But on one meal recently, a woman came in without shoes on. And one of the other neighborhood women said, well, I've got plenty of shoes at home. You take my shoes and walk home with them. I'll walk home barefoot. And she did. She was living out John the Baptist's message.
Yes.
If you've got two pairs, give one away.
Yes, sir.
Live with what you've got.
Right.
So it's that kind of a generous spirit. Jesus sees John the Baptist preaching, and it's what Jesus does. Because the Spirit is on Jesus in the synagogue on that Sabbath, and he opens the scriptures, and the power of the prophet begins to move among the people, the poor people, whose campaign Jesus has opened. And he's throwing open the doors and saying, come on in. You're welcome here. Jesus told stories. I've learned to tell stories of people that lived Jesus with. Bishop Samuel Ruiz was appointed as bishop in Chiapas, which is southern Mexico. Chiapas is a place where mostly indigenous people have been living, and they've been oppressed by the Mexican government. Samuel was appointed in San Cristobal de las Casas in Chiapas. He went there and he said, when I arrived, I was going to convert the poor, but in the end, it was the poor that converted me. He said, I learned that you can't have peace without justice. He was living in such a way that the government suspected he was Marxist, and they convinced the church officials, the Vatican, to do an investigation because they thought he couldn't be a Christian if he believed this way. Well, it turns out that he was following Jesus. Nobody thought about doing that before.
Yeah.
So as they're preaching Jesus, Samuel Ruiz is being transformed, and he begins to connect with the people. There are guerrillas who are trying to work for justice in the land. They're called Zapatistas. Samuel Ruiz is appointed as the negotiator to bring the government and the people together. Later on, he says, justice means bringing from their thrones those who are privileged and elevating the humble to their thrones.
Yes, sir.
He says you've got to make a choice if you're doing the work of the church. You have to choose if you're going to be with Jesus or if you're going to be against him. Then he adds this line. You have to choose if you're going to be with the poor or over the poor.
Yes, sir.
You see how it's His logic is working. You can be with Jesus or against Jesus. You can be with the poor or over the poor. So Brother Ruiz is saying the only way you can live as the people of God is to live with, to be hostile, throw open your doors without really regard for the other person. And you're going to welcome all of them in. Because God at heart is the God of hospitality. God is the God of welcome. God is the God of open doors. I want to tell you about Saini Diagne. Saini was in the United States for 17 years. Mm-hmm. He had been isolated, identified in his home country of Mauritania. Now, Mauritania is up there by Libya. You could think of Africa, it's up in the top northwest corner. Mauritania has been dominated by Arabs for millennia. Arabs are the ones that have power. Black people are in the majority, but the Arabs are the ones with power. And when Samuel was a young teacher, he was being pushed out by the Arab persecutors, and he ended up in a refugee camp. He fled to the United States. For 17 years, he lived in Columbus, Ohio. He learned English. Every day he went to work. He was a very faithful citizen of this country, non-citizen citizen. After 17 years, he was on dialysis for a kidney failure. He had hepatitis, and he had kidney cancer. His supporters argued with ICE that he should be allowed to continue to live in this country. Despite all of that, on the eve of the International Day of Remembrance for Slavery and its Abolition, last year, saying he was back to certain slavery. It was the international reversal of slave trade that had been abolished in this country, but now we were participating in sending Africans back to Africa to be enslaved. So Sione is back in Africa, enslaved. He's one of 80,000 people, according to the CIA's own website, 80,000 slaves in Mauritania, and 800,000 people in all who live as if they were slaves in that country. Black people dominated by the Arab minority and forcing them to live as slaves. Now, what can we do? Well, we can open eyes. That's about all we can do sometimes, is just have our eyes open to be aware of these stories.
Yes, sir.
Ellen lives in Sweden. She was boarding a plane that had an Afghan refugee on it. The Afghan was being flown back to Afghanistan. He was going to be released. Of course, good chance that he was going to be killed by terrorists. Ellen refused to take her seat on the plane. The plane could not depart because she refused to take her seat until they got the Afghan man off and he was allowed to stay in freedom in Sweden. Sometimes you and I can do things like that. We can be quick thinking, and with a small act of civil disobedience,
okay.
We can stop.
Have no fear.
Yes, sir.
A friend of mine tells a story that he gets from Dostoevsky, the great Russian novelist who wrote a short story called Poor Folks. Poor Folks. And one of the people in the story is writing letters to another one of the poor neighbors. Marvan is a man who works as a copyist about 100 years ago, before we had electricity and Xerox machines. He's the guy who copies documents, just like a Xerox machine would. He's sort of like a secretary, although very low on the totem pole. And here he is, copying documents, barely making enough money to live. And the story is told through the letters that he's telling back, writing back and forth with one of his friends. This man, every time he has a little bit of money, sees somebody in worse shape than he is, and he gives them some help. So he's always in debt, always in trouble, always poor. Marvan is at work one day copying when he finds out that he's in terrible trouble. He has miscopied a very important and urgent document. And he's immediately called into his boss, whom he's never met before, the man he calls His Excellency.
Yeah.
This powerful man brings Barban in, and he's about to lay into him because he's done this terrible job with this document. And then he sees Barban is so very nervous about things. This man has very bruised up boots. They're falling apart. His jacket's falling apart. His pockets, his buttons are popping off everywhere. And as he comes into His Excellency's presence, and he tries to straighten up, another button pops off. And he goes scrambling around on the floor trying to find the button. He's grumbling at the feet of His Excellency. Tries to put the button on, but of course he can't do that. And His Excellency says to Marvin's superiors, "What do you know about this man? Who is he? Who is Marvin?" They say, "Well, he's an honest person and he's generous."
Yeah.
And His Excellency says to Marvin, "Look, don't worry about the document. You can go back and recopy it. Not that urgent, not that important." He pulls out of his pocket 100 rubles, which for Marvin was a fortune, a lot of money. And Marvin then tells the story of his visit with His Excellency. And he talks about, well, of course, that he got the money, and he uses half of it immediately to help all of his poor friends. And he said, "Well, the thing I remember most is I shook hands with His Excellency. Now, my friend at my church who sent me the story says, when we serve lunch to our neighbors, we are waiting around for an opportunity to see buttons pop off. And we learn to know people the way they really are. Our eyes are opened from the blindness of our self-sufficiency, and we begin to see the needs of real people around us. When we go out to the garden and we work side by side with other folks, we are seeing them as they really are. When we open the doors and we give witness to the fact that we gather on a Sunday, we gather to hear the scriptures read. We hear the Spirit moving among us. We're giving witness to open eyes. Every time that we reach out to a person who's in physical distress, we are opening blind eyes. So God is calling us today, very simply, to say yes to open eyes, to open ears, to hearing the movement of the Spirit and the scripture moves on us in the synagogue on the Sabbath. To allow the power of the preached promise of the prophet to reach the poor in a way that brings praise to God.
Yeah.
So this morning I'm sending you a simple message from the Gospel of Luke. And pray that God's Spirit will move in us in a way that God knocks down walls.
Yes.
And that makes us one.
Amen.
Thank you.
we need your help right now. Give them a manner that we are able to follow our obligation, that we may be able to help others. Amen.
Amen.
Now,
staff and of our ministry.
Amen.
Amen.
We surely want to thank
thank you for welcoming us.
Yes. We want you and your family, church family, you know that we love you.
Yes.
Always. Thank you.
Always.
If your church no longer wants you.
Careful.